Hello and welcome back to the Adamsons Versus. We hope you enjoyed our last episode, the Adamsons Versus Celebrity Court Case. Welcome to my co-host, James Adamson.
Hello there.
Would you like to tell them what we're tackling this week? It's a pretty big topic.
This is probably going to be slightly less irreverent in tone because of the rather tragic nature of some of the information that we're going to be discussing, but this episode is going to be called the Adamsons Versus the Second Amendment. And we'll be talking about the problems with gun ownership and mass shootings in America at the moment.
Yes, and I also realised that the title of this podcast was a communication breakdown. Because you asked me, what should we call this? Should we call this the Adamsons versus the Second Amendment or the Adamsons versus the NRA? And I went the second one, meaning the NRA, but you've gone for the second. No, 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 you've obviously read that as me saying the Second Amendment.
Because
I'd much rather fight the NRA because they're a bunch of fucking limp dicks, small-brained cunts.
Yeah, I think calling it the Adamsons versus the Second Amendment probably just gives it that slight bit of irony, because what will often happen when the likes of the NRA or these other gun nuts, you know, come out there and say, oh, but, you know, what, stopping terrorists and mentally ill people getting guns and stopping ordinary citizens having, you know, heavy military hardware in their back garden means you hate the Constitution of the United States and people having freedom. So the irony of calling it the Adamsons versus the Second Amendment is somewhat contained that. But yes, that is a misunderstanding on my part.
Do you know what else is a misunderstanding? The Second Amendment.
Why don't we segue beautifully into that, mate? That's very good. Off you go.
So, there's obviously been a couple of tragic shootings in America, which we'll get into, but the whole root of this is, of course, the Second Amendment, which has a little bit in it that says Americans have the right to bear arms. Now, this is very staunchly defended by Americans. They absolutely love their guns, but there's two bits of irony that's kind of lost on them there. Well, not, I suppose not two bits of irony. There's one definite bit of irony, which is that it was an amendment and they refused to amend the Constitution further and allow stricter gun control. But the second bit that blows my mind...
Yeah, it's that the Constitution has needed amendment multiple times, and now having this amendment, despite being over 200 years old, cannot possibly be changed in any way.
Yeah. And the second bit that blows my mind is obviously that this was written by people like George Washington and Alexander Hamilton and all these people in the 1770s and 1780s, when the biggest threat to human life was cholera and the British. So
the idea of gun ownership meant, yeah, you can have a musket. Make sure you keep hold of that musket, yeah, and make sure you look after that musket.
Keep it locked under the bed in case, you know, there's another revolution. We need to fight the British again. That's basically what it was meant to be.
And if someone from the next sort of village, like, you know, or from the next house, like 2 miles away, walks towards your house and you see him walking up to you and he's going to be here in about 10 minutes, just unlock that musket and kind of have it nearby in case he's not your mate. And it's like, yeah, that's not the same as what's happening in a country of 340 million people with, like, gun shops on every corner.
Yeah, and there's obviously a big difference between a musket and an AR-15. A musket, obviously, is a very slow reloading gun. You need a bag of gunpowder. You could probably fire one shot every minute. These AR-15 rifles could probably rattle off hundreds of bullets a minute, maybe tens a second. So, yeah, it's one of these things where, you know, it's like a loophole.
And it is. And, I mean, if we're just, you know, talking about the amendment itself, it's actually worth listening to the exact wording of the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So... The first words that, you know, that come out of that Second Amendment are a well-regulated militia. So it was implicit in the, or in fact explicit in the amendment, that you would keep and bear arms, but you would be part of some sort of organisation that was well-regulated. For example, someone would be, presumably, ensuring some discipline and rules around the way in which you kind of operate within that. And it was very clear what the purpose of it was. And being necessary to the security of a free state is that the purpose of that militia is to make sure that your country is, like you say, the, you know, you had the British were perhaps not going to give up on America without a fight. You had, you know, French Canadian kind of colonies to your north and so on. You needed to ensure your national security, and you were a bunch of colonies with a huge amount of space around you. Now, it does to still say, to be fair, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. But let's be fair, keep and bear arms, you know, it's like you say, they've stretched that to absolute beyond breaking point. Because what we're talking about here is we're talking about people having huge amounts of guns. We're talking about people having access to like heavy machine guns and, you know, weapons with grenade launcher attachments, fully all automatic weapons and bump stocks that enable them to have huge, you know, caches of ammunition attached, yeah, so they can fire dozens and dozens of bullets. And it's just like, are you infringing someone's rights when it says in the amendment itself that you would be regulating the people and how they use that gun? Do you know what I mean? It's like your right to have the gun won't be infringed, but you will be regulated. And I think the Americans have always had a problem with regulation. The way they think regulation is something that you know, is some sort of terrible curse that brings in Stalinism, and other people think regulation is why we can drink our water and theirs catches fire when they turn the tap on.
Yeah, and obviously that bit of the amendment obviously says in a militia, that doesn't mean you can have a gun all the time or you should be using a gun all the time.
Yeah, I mean, but the reality is back then that they would say, look, we may need to call you up at any time. So have a gun ready. So they're going to need to have ready access to a gun. The first thing is, does that necessarily apply now? Because the security of a free state, and is a well-regulated militia still necessary in America to the security of the United States as a free state when they have the largest military in the world and it's bigger than the next three military operations in the world put together? Is it still... Because that's the whole point. It said that at the point we're writing this, it is necessary for the security of our country for everybody to have a gun. And what in reality is, it's probably less necessary now that their army boasts 1 million people and they have enough firepower stashed away in warehouses that they're not even touching to wipe all human life off the earth. It's like, how much more secure does their state need to be to say, hey, Billy Bob, make sure you've got an AR-15 in your shed next to your fucking meth lab, right? Because you never know that our military might be overwhelmed by the fucking North Koreans. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the problem with it isn't anything to do with, you know, obviously what that amendment was written for. It's to do with the fact that they like having guns. They don't care about anyone else's being. What about someone's right to not be shot in the head when they go to Walmart? What about someone's right to go to school and not be shot while they're in a lesson? What about the right to live a nice and healthy, happy life? What about those rights? Fuck your AR-15 and your right to bear it, because it's got fuck all to do with that. It's nothing to do with raising a militia. It's the fact that they like holding nice big guns with big barrels and nice big shafts for the bullets to go through, because they're not used to holding anything that isn't enough to satisfy their mum, cousin, or sister. They're a bunch of gun-toting, redneck, inbred, hillbilly cunts, and genuinely, I hope they all get really depressed and turn the guns on themselves and shoot themselves. It's a fucking disgrace that this is still a thing. You know, I don't know if it's just because, you know, we live in a country where Dunblane happened in 1996, which is a very similar thing to what happened in Uvalde in Texas, where a madman went into a primary school in Dunblane, killed a teacher, and I can't remember the exact number, but it was an entire class of children almost, and it was dozens of children. And after that, all the guns were all guns in Scotland and Britain were regulated. It is very hard to get a gun in this country, and because of that incident, and that was it. That was the end of it. America has had, between Sandy Hook and Uvalde, over 900 incidents of guns, weapons, all that kind of, like, machine guns, sorry, guns, handguns, any type of gun at primary schools. They've had 900 incidents
just in
the
in
10
primary
years.
Schools, that's insane.
Maybe not just primary schools, but in schools.
Schools between 900 gun incidents in schools since Sandy Hook, which should have been
in the 10 years. 10 years you've had 900 incidents. In Scotland, we've had none. In Britain, we've had none.
I mean, this is not, because there's not enough to categorise it to that level, right? This is, perhaps not completely comprehensive, but if you look up, full disclosure, the Wikipedia category, 2021 mass shootings in Europe. So mass shootings that were reported in Europe in the year 2021 that were big enough to get, at very least big enough to get their own Wikipedia page. How many do you think there are in Europe in 2021? That's every country that's classed as in the continent of Europe. So maybe that bit of Turkey down to Greece, okay, up to Norway, all of those countries, 1 year, 2021.
What, 10, 15?
Seven.
Seven, class.
List of mass shootings in the United States that have occurred in 2022.
Oh, it's something absurd. It's already like 1,000 incidents, isn't it? Something ridiculous since the start of January.
So let's start. 1st of January, when... So
I can hear your mouse scrolling. That's a really good sign.
So there were... Jesus Christ. New Year's Day was a bad day in America. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... America's mass shooting list outpaced the entire year for the continent of Europe on New Year's Day. It's just insane. And it's very interesting that if you look at other places, Switzerland has got very high gun ownership. And the other bit about Switzerland is they actually have national service. I think once you've been in the military, you can be called back up. I think this just is a historical thing where Switzerland, even though they see themselves as being very stable and secure where they are, their history involves them being, you know, bordering with a number of countries that could have overwhelmed them any number of times over the years. They've always been very hot on own a gun, make sure that, you know, we want to stay neutral, but we need to kind of make sure that we can protect ourselves. We've got, you know, big potentially rival countries on every border. And there's a lot of gun ownership over there, but simply not the same problem because there is a very sober attitude to guns, which is to say, we've decided we need this gun for this specific purpose, so own guns, know how to use them. Absolutely rigidly adhere to all the rules around guns and all of these things. And they don't have those kind of mass shootings. It's a combination of the massive number of guns they got over there, but also something to do with the cultural... The society is fucking... got a number of problems over there, and it's just all the arguments that they make for like owning guns is, oh, we've got to protect ourselves from the government. It's like, well, number one, the government is the one telling you to do this. The government is made up predominantly of Republicans because they've gamed their electoral systems so much. Which government are they going to be taking up arms against? Because the government are the ones taking money from the NRA and making sure that they can own all the guns that they want and pandering to these religious groups. It's like, you're not doing anything to check the government. You're playing entirely into their hands by voting for all the shit they do and then complaining about it and buying more guns. They talk about, oh, you need to protect yourself against crime. It's like, well, Australia had a bit of a problem with mass shootings. It was not as bad as America, but they had a significant number of mass shootings. You've got a lot of people living in isolated territories, maybe drink problems and mental problems, all these things kicking it off. They introduced gun controls. Now, they have not eradicated guns entirely, but you certainly can't buy a machine gun. Mass shootings since they changed those laws? Zero. Change in crime rate? Negligible. Right? So you took away the access of regular people to have stupid amounts of access to guns. And the ability of criminals or the propensity of criminals to commit crimes against ordinary citizens did not change one bit. Because the level of ownership of guns generally, it is probably what feeds into, I better have a gun because the homeowner's got a gun. We've all got guns. I better have a gun. But the gun, they may have painted themselves into a corner like that now. Because if they were to try to take guns away from people now, the criminals aren't going to give theirs up, perhaps the challenge. But the fact is that crimes get committed for all the reasons crimes normally get committed. Social decay, poverty, gangs allowing to overrun things, drugs, all of that stuff, you know, is your problem. And all they ever say is, oh, well, you know, make sure you've got a gun to protect yourself. Really? If you get woken up in the middle of the night, three masked men jump in, tie you up, you're going to be really happy that you had that gun under your bed? Do you know what I mean? It's just insane. None of the, you know, there's a, you know, stand-up comedians have kind of ridiculed it. The figures are huge. People march against it. Huge numbers of Americans march against it. This is the thing we need to bear in mind. They're not like one homogenous mass. Only 44% of Americans own guns. So the majority of Americans don't own guns. So it is actually, as with most things in America, it's a minority of Americans that's just large enough to kind of fuck over everybody else. And essentially act against their own best interests because they think they've got this great freedom because they've got loads of guns, when in reality, those guns don't make them any safer from all the things they're actually going to get them. And it certainly doesn't make them safer from, you know, breaking your leg and going bankrupt because the ambulance trip costs $50,000. Do you know what I mean? It's like, their priorities are so completely fucking all over the place. And even though, here's the thing, we can talk about it, but 90% or close to 90% of Americans agree with the moderate gun control regulations that Obama wanted to bring in, and actually enforcing the gun controls that are already in place. So the majority of Americans actually agree with more gun control than they've currently got, and yet somehow there are loads and loads of guns all over the place and this mass shooting problem. So it's just it's like most things American, it's kind of weird, you know?
It is. It's just a total different mentality over there. I think the whole problem with guns ties into almost any problem they have. I think the problem with guns is highlighted through the failings of the police in America. I don't necessarily think we should be disarming the police, but I genuinely think the police have got some sets of paranoia that any person that they could be dealing with in their country could be holding a gun at any minute. That can't be a healthy mindset for a police officer to have.
They don't seem to understand the concept of like policing by consent in a democracy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've talked about with police before, though. I think we talked about it before we started this podcast. I think it came into the topics that we did on our other podcast, Double Reel, which we haven't mentioned, by the way. We normally mention that quite early. You can also hear us on the Double Reel podcast when we talk solely about film. I don't necessarily get into political subjects and current affairs the way we do here. But you know, on that, we were talking about the way the police operate. And the thing is, policing by consent, it's the idea of the thin blue line. It's that you don't have that many police. And in reality, if everyone rose up, the police wouldn't have a chance against them. But the fact is they don't, because in a society that's functioning properly, the vast majority of people are minding their own business and not committing any crimes anyway, yeah? Cooperate with the law and the police, because they see the police is there to help them, right? Mm-hmm. And the police, you know, make sure the vast majority of things don't turn into a problem. A, just by being there. B, just by de-escalating situations when they go there. Because you think, how many of these situations do you actually want to end in fucking gunplay? How many situations do you actually want to end in all-out fucking combat when you might have been able to just tone it down by going, guys, come on. The situation, I know there's a big difference between the way I would be deal with the police, you know, because I'm white and have a job and I don't live in a poor area. So there's, you know, that's part of the problem we'll probably come to as well. But the fact is, the majority of times that, you know, you have a successful situation with the police, it's when someone says, come on, everyone. Do you know what I mean? It's not always their job, and should only be their job in the minority of cases, to pull out their gun and say, get on the ground. Do you know what I mean? Not every fucking situation is Starsky and Hutch. That's a nice dated reference for you there. The majority of situations, the police should just be going, come on, everybody, calm down.
Just the point I was making, without getting too much into the other massive problem that America has, is that it must be some mindset to be going to work thinking anything that kicks off today could kick off with a gun.
But it's self-perpetuating, you know, because the police are essentially militarized. And the police in America have tanks.
Yeah.
It's fucking hell. It's like, it's people, you know, it's an arms race. It's become the social sort of societal equivalent of like the massing of armies prior to World War One. Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, they've got warships, we better have warships. You know, the cops have got guns, we better have guns. The criminals have got guns, we better have tanks. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, before you know it, the whole country is, or enough of the country is so heavily armed that no one feels safe. And like you say, the police walk up to a car because they have a broken headlight and think, am I going to get shot, you know?
Yeah, it's absurd, but yeah.
And the guy sitting behind the wheel says, I'm going to have to reach into my glove compartment for my driving license. Am I going to get shot? Do you know what I mean? So both people in that situation are going, this could turn out in a shootout. That doesn't happen here. I mean, I've been stopped by the police. You know, one time I was driving a van, you know, I was the passenger in a van belonging to my friend, and the police decided the van was a bit scruff and decided to stop the van. But I never felt like anyone was going to shoot me. Do you know what I mean? Another time I was going over the speed limit and a policeman, you know, decided to pull me up, and I was out of order, and I got points on my license for it. At no time did I think, oh, I'm going to end up with my face in the bonnet, handcuffed with a gun against my ear. Do you know what I mean? And it's just so weird to think that, I don't recommend speeding, and it's not something like, you know, it's just, oh, blimey, look at the speedo. Oh, God, I was over, was I? But it's not the sort of, it's still a relatively normal situation that doesn't necessarily need to end in loss of life, you know?
Yeah, but I think those problems are heightened by guns. Yeah.
Someone around here has got guns and is mental. Do you know what I mean? You're never too more than sort of 5 feet away from an incel.
Yeah, that's the problem that I have with it, is that this guy was allowed to buy a gun. The pair of them were fucked up little creatures. And the issue I have with it is that the guy who shot up Uvalde had just turned 18. He wasn't allowed to drink alcohol, but he was allowed to buy an AR-15. It's astounding that it's just that easy to buy a gun. It's this type of thing's been covered before. If you've not seen Bowling for Columbine, the Michael Moore documentary where he discusses gun laws in America after the shooting at Columbine High School, which they still didn't learn any lessons from, that was 23 odd years ago now, that he goes and starts up a bank account you get a free hunting rifle with your bank account, but basically this bank has an armory. The lady at the desk like, yeah, we just keep, we know, what is it, an armory? Yeah, it's got its own armory, and it's registered as like a vendor for selling guns.
It's
got its own catalogue of guns that you can just pick from. Like, you know, when I joined Monzo, I got to recommend a friend for a fiver. I didn't get a fucking Car 98 bolt action rifle, you know. It's just a sad state of affairs that, you know, it's just exhausting. I was saying to my missus, she gets really angry, and I said, I just get quite sad at these things now. I used to get really angry, but you just realise nothing's going to change. And I've been speaking to, you know, my close friends about it, about what happens, and there's just no solution. When the government is happy to take the payments from the NRA, there's no solution that any president can have that doesn't end in another civil war. Because that's probably what it would take to get rid of these guns. These people love their guns just as much as they liked having slaves. I'm not saying that this is, I'm not wanting to get into the debate about it being one thing more evil than the other. Slavery was obviously a very awful and terrible thing, and these guns are also a very awful and terrible thing. I'm not trying to put them on the same level in case someone gets offended, because everyone gets offended. I'm just trying to say how much people love their guns, that they would probably die on a hill for those guns before they would just give them up willingly.
And I think that's part of your problem, is that all the talk is of two things, and I think you need to be reminded of both things. And not you personally, mate, and people need to be reminded of both things when there is a gun incident like this. That it's not just the fact that there's lots of guns. It's the fact that there's lots of guns, and this, frankly, diseased mindset. You know, it's like this this kind of sort of feverish, violent atmosphere around guns. It's almost the idea that, you know, the fact that you're holding a gun doesn't make you calmer. It makes you go crazy. And it's like, it ought to be the thing you go, right, this is a firearm. This could actually kill someone. You need to be very, very careful what you're doing here. And I'm sure there are quite a number of Americans who do think that way, but there's more than enough, because there's just this strange cultural factor around it. It's like, it's the guns and fucking crazy trigger happy people thrown together. Do you know what I mean? Like fucking fire and petrol. But I mean, is it worth having a quick look at the proposals that people talked about in terms of gun control? Because this is the stuff that people didn't want to do. This is what Obama wanted to do when the Sandy Hook, I think, was the thing that kind of kicked this off. And it was 2013. He put it forward. Almost all of them were thrown out because the American political systems, it's another thing that's been stretched by the Republicans into something that government no longer works. The idea is that the president can't just pass orders like some dictator. It's got to pass through a number of checks and balances, but the Republicans have skewed those checks and balances so that certain laws that need to be passed never get passed. and especially these ones, because the gun lobby, the NRA, have got the Republicans in their pocket. And I think we'll have to come to the NRA in a minute because they're a fucking big part of the problem here. But what he wanted to do to reduce gun violence, this is the stuff that A, 90% of Americans agree with, and B, got absolutely killed in government. They just wouldn't let it happen. Does this, and they always characterize it, these Second Amendment kind of advocate nuts, that it's like this government, massive government overreach to take, you know, all of your freedoms away, despite the fact that Obama, if he was anything, was perhaps a little bit too moderate and a little bit too kind of, you know, tentative sometimes in like passing a law. It was almost as if he said, I'm going to try and do this kind of sensibly in the right way, and kind of got outmaneuvered by the absolute shithousery of the opposition, right? But first of all, he said that the existing federal laws and the existing federal bodies should actually enforce the laws that are already in place. Because when he was doing this, the Congress had blocked the appointment of a full-time head of the Alcohol, Tobacco and Firearms body of the American law enforcement. So they didn't actually have someone permanently in charge of the body's job is to stop guns getting out of control. Funding to the ATF.
Do not see the irony in that. So if you take firearms out of that acronym,
yeah,
you've got alcohol and tobacco. What do alcohol and tobacco predominantly do? Kill people.
Well, they just don't seem to understand. It's like, what they're saying is, yeah, you know what? We should regulate. We should make sure you can't, like you said, that guy couldn't drink alcohol, but he could get a gun. It's like, we've got to regulate tobacco because it could be harmful. You know, this sort of thing could be damaging in the wrong hands. They have in America, they have motor vehicles. You need to demonstrate, you need a license to have a motor vehicle.
Americans can't fucking drive, though.
But because in the wrong hands, it could kill someone. And your regular driving license enables you to drive a normal four-wheel car. It doesn't enable you to drive an 18-ton truck. Do you know what I mean? And they don't understand that, oh, well, as soon as someone is old enough, they can have any weapon they want. It's just, but here's it. Require background checks for all gun sales.
Doesn't make a fucking difference.
It doesn't make a fucking difference, but this has been blocked. Strengthen the background check system, ban assault weapons, limit ammunition magazines to 10 rounds, no armor-piercing bullets, stop freezing funding on gun violence research, because the other thing that the gun lobby does and the Republican Party does is stop the government carrying out any research onto the damage being done by gun violence. Isn't that interesting? It's not just that they don't allow any kind of limits on guns, is they actually physically prevent anyone from doing any like official research into the damage that it's been doing. Mental health, prevent people on terror watch lists getting guns, prevent people who've got, you know, listed as having...
They blocked that.
Yeah, they blocked that.
Did they read it? Probably not.
No. They consciously said, we will obviously kill all the terrorists, and we obviously stop all the Muslims coming to this country, but any terrorists that are in this country will not have their right to bear arms infringed. you couldn't fucking make this up. I mean, these things, right? I personally think that's not enough, okay? I agree with you. It's not enough and it doesn't do anything. But part of the problem you got in America is that even that 90% of Americans deal with it and would at least get assault weapons off the streets. And who needs fucking armor-piercing bullets, man? Do you know what I mean? The only reason you need armor-piercing bullets is if you're actually in some sort of military confrontation. And if you genuinely think that the arming of citizens is going to save, your average citizen against the federal government, if they actually do come after you, needs to actually watch some videos of Waco, Texas, right? Because if the federal government actually goes after you, you don't stand a chance of having any fucking guns you've got. It's just such a weird fucking thing. I'll tell you the other thing that's a problem here. It's we talked about the culture around guns. We talked about the situation with, you know, the Republicans and everything. The NRA are a fucking scary group of people.
Yeah.
There was a time when the NRA was. It was still seen, you know, negatively by progressives who didn't like the fact that everyone's got a gun, but they were certainly more moderate than they are now. I mean,
I'm not going to stand for that.
We're talking about 40 years ago, that it was a lot less like insane than it is now.
Mate, look up the date the KKK was made illegal, and then after that, look up the year that the NRA was founded.
That's an interesting. All right, yep. Let's do this.
No, no, I know it. So, Ulysses S. Grant outlawed.
Ku Klux Klan Act 1871?
Yep.
NRA 1871.
Yep.
I tell you what, every day is a school day. So as soon as the KKK was outlawed, the National Rifle Association was set up.
Yep. They've been cunts for 151 years. I mean, it could be completely coincidental, but Americans are too thick for anything to be a coincidence.
Well, let's see. The co-founders of the National Rifle Association, he was... The first one was a guy called William C. Church, and he was from New York, and he looks like he served in the United States Volunteers. It looks like he was somewhat on the side of sense and not the Confederates. Who was the other guy who set up the NRA? We're learning as we go, folks. Men look things up on the internet. General George Wingate. Let's see who this is. The other guy who set up the NRA was a guy called General George Wood Wingate. Yeah, so, yeah, the two guys who set it up. But, yeah, it is an interesting one, isn't it? The National Rifle Association is set up the year that the KKK are closed down. There's certainly something troubling about that. But if you look up the NRA, what used to actually support sensible gun control, they used to actually agree that, you know, while people should be allowed to have guns, there should be sort of limitations on it. I mean, you could start with the point of view that saying that this is based on an amendment that dates back to 18th century living conditions. But, they did originally say that some gun control was actually very sensible. They, in the Prohibition era, they wanted to outlaw the Thompson machine gun because gangsters were using it and were overwhelming the police. So there have been times there. So it's very another one that's very interesting. Do you know how hard it is to get like gun laws passed now? Well, you know how hard it is to get gun laws passed now because, you know,
they didn't want free fucking healthcare.
Obama couldn't even get it off the ground. But there was a time when the California government, the state government of California, managed to pass guns restricting the ownership of firearms in a matter of weeks, 12 weeks, in fact. Do you know when they did that?
When?
When the Black Panthers started carrying firearms to protect themselves.
Oh, fuck's sake.
So it is so weird. The National Rifle Association are this incredibly, incredibly dangerous like gun lobby. They represent two main areas. They represent the corporate interests of people who manufacture guns, and they represent the interests of religious nuts who want to just promote this particularly kind of extreme version of the American sort of lifestyle. To the exclusion of everyone else in the United States, which is actually the same thing, because actually that hardcore religious movement in America and greedy corporate interests that are destroying the world are basically one and the same. They're actually the same. They come from the same well. But the National Rifle Association are so unbelievable. They just, you know, they're actually giving away the gun in a sort of raffle prizes. The gun that was used to kill people in that school and kill children in that school in Uvalde is being given away as a raffle prize at the current National Rifle Association conference, which is going ahead. They're such fucking scary, fucked up people. And yeah. it's the same place that it comes from that said that they're lobbying for, stopping people being able to vote freely. They're lobbying to stop, you know, women having control of their bodies. They're lobbying for, you know, the police to be kind of given more powers to kind of beat people up and shoot people. They're lobbying for, you know, specific like racist voting, voting limitations. They are, and again, they vote for, you know, and they're voting for kind of, you know, healthcare, you know, factors which make people, you know, absolutely kind of in fear of even getting slightly ill, and voting for, you know, all the stuff that if you look at American films and a lot of this right-wing American propaganda, you would think that anyone can get off any crime with a technicality. When you actually look it up, you should watch the John Oliver show. The courts are allowed to, you know, to suppress evidence that would actually exonerate people. And then when appeals come through that actually show these people are innocent, it's almost impossible to get those appeals heard. and the prisons that they put people in have got absolutely horrendous conditions. It's like, this isn't a modern country anymore. These groups have taken control of the political system, despite every single one of the things I've just described are opposed by the majority of American people. Not least the fact that the majority of American people don't own firearms. So we can't even be certain that the majority of people support the Second Amendment in its current state, right? And yet these powerful lobbies have actually got these incredibly repressive things in place. I mean, it's as close to fascism as you're going to get without them actually starting to, you know, name capital cities after the leader and declaring himself president for life, you know?
Yeah, it fucks me off. And I've actually fallen out with, this is going to sound very bizarre, but I've fallen out with the other side of this coin on Twitter. I wanted to bring this up because it pissed me off immensely. So, have you watched the new Kenobi series yet?
No,
not
yet.
The first two episodes, right. No. So, bearing in mind, this was announced to have been filmed back in like the end of 2020, and it finished filming ages ago. And it was meant to come out in April, and then it got pushed back to May, but they were going to release two episodes at the same time or something like that. But anyway, the first episode, spoiler alert for anyone listening who doesn't want to get spoiler alert, you've got 2 seconds to stop listening. The very like first shot of this episode is an Order 66 scene where, for anyone who doesn't know, at the end of Star Wars Episode 3, Darth Vader goes to the Jedi Temple and kills a load of, along with some clone troopers, kills all the Jedi and all the Jedi young Padawans, younglings is what they're called.
Yeah.
And this person on Twitter was demanding that they have content warnings. Now, I don't know if I'm just being a cunt here, but I feel like they're so angry at everything that they're now pointing the finger at the wrong person. I said, what difference would it make if you had a content warning on this episode of Star Wars, on the made-up space show with laser guns and, you know, Wookiees and lightsabers? You know, like, if you were to just channel this energy, and they were asking for content warnings on Stranger Things because there's some kind of similar themes, but, you know, am I being an arsehole there?
No, it's like if you think that thing is a horrible thing to watch, you might want to do a little bit more about it happening in real life.
That's what I said. I said
in imaginary life.
Yeah. I didn't get a reply from this person. The person that put this tweet out was like a pure, she's got loads of like followers. I think she's like a Twitch streamer. She's quite successful. But I got a reply from someone who describes herself as a former librarian. And has about 10 followers. And she just started like, she started name calling me an arsehole, calling me all this kind of thing, blah, blah, blah. And I went, I don't understand why you're like going straight to calling me an arsehole. You know, I'm saying, you know, maybe if you'd channeled this energy towards the NRA and not Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, maybe you'd be getting somewhere. You might not because of the way the government is set up, but, you know, instead of going on Twitter and calling a guy 5,000 miles away an arsehole for saying stop being so fucking sensitive towards Disney and the Mickey Mouse Corporation and channel that energy towards the people in charge.
It's there is a lot of that kind of slacktivism, and it's very concerning. It's like you've got a lot of politically progressive people, and I number myself as a politically progressive person, but you've got a lot of politically progressive people who, in my opinion, spend a huge amount of time on window dressing because they're at a loss how to do anything about the real issues. It's like they say, well, what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that the trans people who are currently having all of their rights taken away by right-wing assholes and who have a greatest chance of being beaten up and could be killed and raped at any time wherever they go. But I tell you what, we're going to make sure that all of their pronouns are properly used, and we're going to cancel anyone on Twitter who doesn't use them properly, because that'll show them. It's like, and I'm not having a go at wanting to make sure that people are named properly and that people's identity is properly respected, because I know that's part of the picture. But it's like, it's really easy to do that bit. Do you know what I mean? It's not that far different from clapping for the NHS and then continuing to vote for the party that's dismantling the NHS. Do you know what I mean? It's like, don't wear a fucking NHS badge. Fucking support the NHS in more real and practical ways, you know, with things that are going to make a difference. And I think it's the fact that people do like to have a go at things that make a difference because they love symbolic gestures, because they're so much easier to do. It's exactly the same thing why companies have got, every single company you see advertising on TV at the moment, have got this lovely diverse world where, you know, every sort of social and ethnic group is represented. And then if you look at their boardroom, it's all fucking old white guys. It's like, yes, you're absolutely great at hiring a different category of starving actor, right, who's very happy to be in your advert because otherwise they'd be waiting tables. But you're not going to offer a six-figure salary to a representation of that ethnic group running your fucking marketing department. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's fucking bollocks. It's the same shit that says we have not got a fucking clue how to take on the actual big bad guys who are causing all of this shit, so we will slag off imaginary fucking bearded men with laser swords and strangers on Twitter who mildly criticize them because they haven't got the fucking wherewithal to tackle anything else in life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's mental. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't being a cunt there because I can read you some of these replies.
Like, I think this outrage aimed at imaginary events is fucking bollocks.
Well, I could read you some of these replies that this...
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's see how...
So I can't actually see them because she blocked me. That was the highlight of this. It was a real corner taken quickly. Origi! Fully got into her head kind of moment, but she said something... Stranger Things had one. Disney had to put one for this show, and they've existed for decades. I'd say you have no real problems in your life, but you do. You just need to see a therapist about them. I was like, right. I think my reply to that was, fuck, it's so hard to fucking make sense of this. You might be able to make sense of it better because you're not blocked by her. But I just said, no, I don't feel the need. I just don't need Disney or Netflix to feel the need to pander to my problems. Feel free to hurl passive aggressive insults my way and not towards the NRA or the government. I'm sure that'll fix your country. And I said, are you going to put a content warning on your tweet for all the people that have needed therapy because of mass shootings? I'm sure that'll make things a lot better instead of, you know, gun reform. And it was just there was a lot of me reading her tweet and replying to what she was saying and her just like calling me an asshole and calling me someone that needs therapy. And then I said, but please insist I need therapy while continuing to live in a country that pretends school shootings didn't exist. So my point from this was having a content warning so you don't watch a show about lightsabers and laser guns and all that stuff.
When the news is 10 times worse.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? You're just not going to look at the news? You just want to pretend that school shootings don't exist? And I said, you're firing insults at someone from a country that had a school shooting in 1996 and hasn't had one since. No thanks to content warnings or former librarians. And then she said something along that you're from a country that raised an inconsiderate and uncompassionate asshole. I was like, right. I don't think you understand the irony of that tweet.
Look, the thing is, right, the reason he or she, I don't know who it is doing that, is that it
will be referred to as an it because I've seen its profile picture and it's a creature.
Well, they would rather be taking on you than some fucking crazy fucking Appalachian woodsman with a beard and a gun.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it's entirely about.
And
talking about TV shows, there was an interesting perspective on this by a TV show called BoJack Horseman. I don't know if you've ever watched it.
I've heard of it. It's the animated thing.
Yeah, it's sort of an animated show aimed at adults. It's about Hollywood, but it also ends up being about kind of personal, you know, issues. The main character's like a washed up alcoholic, you know, former TV star trying to rebuild his life, and he's a horse. It's kind of a surreal. Kind of, you know, humans and talking animals kind of coexist in this strange, surreal world. But they do this brilliant bit about there's just been a mass shooting and they need to do something about it. And lots of people are saying, oh, this is terrible. We've got to do something about all of this. We should get together. We should say something. We should make a statement. And then some behind-the-scenes people say, yeah, we're not going to do that. And it's like it's a Hollywood producer. And says, why that? It says, well, because next month we've got a film coming out where two of our biggest action stars are going to be going out and killing lots of bad guys and driving through guns, firing weapons out of windows, blowing shit up. You know, it's all, you know, lots of guns, and it's all going to be made to look as exciting as possible. And it's not going to look very good on us if we start saying that, like, you know, the obsession with guns and violence in America is unhealthy and needs to stop. So all we're going to do is offer our thoughts and prayers. And it's an interesting perspective because over here, right, we watch a lot. We have a film podcast. We watch a lot of films. A lot of those films are American films with lots of gunfire in them, right? But the thing about that for us is that for us, that's like a bit of escapism. We just have this implicit.
We don't have that, do we?
We have that. We have that implicit like attitude that this is. And I know we watch war films. We watch stuff about real life and everything else. But the fact is that we watch it in films because we don't want to watch it happening in real life. And America has actually got a problem that, you know, you can't get a big budget these days to make a film in America that's as violent as fucking primary schools. Do you know what I mean? I sort of understand the point about, oh yeah, this is quite triggering because this violence is all around us. But the main point, as you say, is, yeah, and you should do something about the violence all around you. Do you know what I mean?
Why are you lobbying Obi-Wan Kenobi?
That's the whole point. We want our films violent and our streets safe. Do you know what I mean?
Which, to some degree, we have.
Yeah, I would say so. I think most people have actually worked that out, is that we like our violence imaginary. But the Americans seem to have a different view on these things. But it seems to be, you know, and I'm trying not to sound like too much like an old man sort of shouting at the internet here, but there does seem to be this kind of increased kind of, sort of just violent kind of atmosphere because, you know, the idea of the incel, once upon a time an incel was someone, a young guy who couldn't get a girlfriend who eventually sorted himself out, fucking learned to wash and shave and got a girlfriend. Do you know what I mean? Learned to fucking talk to girls and got a girlfriend, right?
It was like a joke.
And what might happen is, well, this person can't get a girlfriend because he's terribly shy and he's got really, really bad problems. Well, maybe that guy needs to kind of talk to someone about overcoming his shyness. And now incels go on fucking 4chan or their own fucking dark web websites and ride each other up about how basically the women who won't sleep with them are a problem. And by the time they've spent a couple of hours on the internet together, they want to kill everybody. And it's like, fucking hell, if you're on the internet because you can't get a girlfriend, the answer is fucking Pornhub, mate, not fucking assault rifles. Do you know what I mean? I don't understand it's actually America's version, these incels and these sort of Trump supporters, because it's all of a piece, right? The religious right and the hardcore conservatives are at the heart of this absolute stranglehold they've got on the Second Amendment and guns and the government's regulation of guns. It's all tied up in the same thing. And that's America's version of like the radicalization of the vulnerable youth. They are actually their own version of the mullahs in Iran and the Wahhabists in other parts of the Middle East, radicalizing people so that they become violent. And, you know, it's like the purpose of it is not to make everybody go out and commit a mass atrocity. What it is, it's almost to kind of hypnotize and control the people and make them easy to whip up for their own purposes.
Yeah.
And the fact that some, like, byproduct of that is these mass shootings and sickos who will go and shoot up a bunch of people, it's an acceptable byproduct of their kind of their societal control techniques. I'm trying not to sound too like fucking Russell Brand here, but the fact is that they build this society because they want everybody afraid. They want predominantly white areas to have lots of guns in their houses and be terrified of the thought of a black person even coming by, let alone moving in there, right? They want people to be terrified that, you know, that the government's going to take away any of their freedoms, because any time the Democrats or anyone else say, well, maybe we should eat less meat, or maybe we should put less fucking poison in the water, or maybe we should try solar energy, they can go, look, I told you they were taking away your freedom. Get your guns, get your guns. And they know that it's bullshit. They know that they're actually making America. America is going massively backwards as a country. All the things that we like about America fucking started getting worse in about the 1980s, right? When healthcare started to cost 30 times what it needs to cost, and the NRA took away all gun control, right? And a lot of the things that, you know, infrastructure and roads all started to go downhill. And what we love about America is actually being eroded by these people. This is the ironic thing, because it's always the people who claim to be the biggest patriots who are doing the biggest amount of damage to their country, right? They know that they're ruining their country, and they know that what they're doing has this byproduct of creating this atmosphere of violence, and they're okay with that. They're okay with the fact that more than once a day there's going to be a mass shooting. 90 times a year, a primary school is going to get shot up. and they're okay with that.
So that's one every 4 days, 365 yeah. days, yeah. One every 4 days.
So 90 times a day.
That's just schools. That's not including the guy that went to Walmart.
90 times a day there's going to be a gun incident in a school, and more than once a day there's going to be a mass shooting, and they're okay with that. They're okay with... And the fact is, the people that are doing this are usually fucking screwed up and messed up in some way, but God forbid they should ever get any kind of treatment for their mental health issues, by the way.
Well, because they can't fucking afford it.
But they can afford a fucking assault rifle and all the ammunition they can carry. Again, we never stray too far from films with the Double Reel podcast in our back pocket. There's a very interesting quote in Boys in the Hood. Lawrence Fishburne's character says, "Have you noticed how we can't afford schooling, we can't afford decent housing, we can't afford enough food to live and eat, but there's a gun shop and a liquor store on every street corner of our neighbourhoods." And the interesting thing, right, is that there was a time when black people were making that very valid point about what was being done to them, and a lot of the disadvantage in society in America was built on that happening to black people. But now what's happening is, what they don't realise is that the right-wingers who did that are now rolling that model out onto the white population as well. But just to make, because they saw what happened when black people got wise to that, right, and organized ever since about 1950 when they went, shit, we're not putting up with this anymore. They have geared their entire political system to say that even while they're doing that, they use all forms of distraction and lies and propaganda and control to distract the white people from the fact that they're doing exactly the same shit to them. And every election in America, and it's actually getting that way in Britain now, but every election in America, it's about convincing people to act against their own best interests. And every time they go and vote for the guys that are saying, your kids are probably going to get shot, you won't be able to afford their healthcare if they survive and get injured and not killed in that shooting, by the way. If you need any sort of medication for the trauma that you suffer from that shooting, that's probably going to bankrupt you. You're probably, if you have a glass of water to calm your nerves, that's probably going to poison you. You can't breathe the fucking air. And what you should do about that is keep voting for the people who are actively causing all of those things. And that's the entire fucking political system of America in a nutshell. Because the Republicans have geared it that way. And they make sure no one who disagrees with it is allowed anywhere near a fucking polling station come election time.
Yeah, I mean you've put it beautifully. You're at a loss of what to do. I've been talking to my pals for the past, like, how long has it been? 2 weeks since it happened. And you can't come up with a solution.
The thing is, all we can do is watch from a safe distance, because they're locked into this. They're in a fucking downward spiral.
Well, that's the thing. My pal Rory, he said, it's going to take a president who's got the balls to just say, I'm taking your guns away. And I went, yeah, but Abraham Lincoln didn't even say that about the slaves, and they started a civil war about it.
Mm-hmm.
But in some ways, he's right. It's probably one of the more deadly solutions that you could have regarding guns.
Lincoln won that civil war, but that civil war would be much harder to fight now because it's not regional anymore.
And everyone has a gun.
Yeah, they're all kind of mixed in with each other, because this is the thing, right? If you actually let everyone in Texas vote, right, who has the right to vote, their government would not be as right-wing as it is. All of these, it's the weird thing about America, all of these states that are passing these, they're holding up these gun laws that are, banning abortion, all of these things, you could get a majority in each of those states out to vote against what they're doing if everyone who has the right to vote was allowed to vote.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. And it's going to take, I don't know, but I tell you what though, it's not going to be changed one iota by that fucking moron that you encountered on the internet having a go at Obi-Wan Kenobi. I mean, I don't know why I even had to say that out loud, to be honest, because I think everyone knows that. I mean, there are people like campaigning against this. There are, and I think it's just, is there a generational change? I don't know, because kids are being brainwashed into this on a daily basis. I just don't know.
See, to be fair, with that Obi-Wan Kenobi thing, that was like a popular Twitch streamer saying that she was watching the show with her pal who survived a mass shooting, blah, blah. So I understand wanting to do something for your pal in some sense, because everyone gets protective of their friends and family. I disagree with it because I think it's stupid. I think you should, do everything in your power to consistently lobby the NRA, but that's again, if you want to do something for your friend, that is at its core a nice thing. Understand that. The person that pissed me off was the female version of an incel.
The thing is, the original conversation you had is with someone who believed that there should be a trigger warning. And to be honest, I think the conversation you're having with them is saying actually that trigger warning or that effort is probably better spent elsewhere. Is a normal conversation with two people on two sides of an argument, and someone else has jumped in because they're a moron, and that's what happens. It's like they love a witch hunt in America, and the fact is, even the people who were on the what you'd call the progressive side over in America, they're descended from the same people who loved a witch hunt back in the fucking 17th century. And they just seem to be very, very good at calling people out and denouncing them and finding easy targets. And what happens is that while they are fanning about doing fuck all, the real enemy just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And the TV show they should be worrying about more is The Handmaid's Tale, because frankly, I think that's going to come true.
Fucking hope not. I've not even properly watched that, and that show terrifies me.
I mean, not to get into a review, I mean, it does get unrelentingly grim after a while, because for about three series, it's just more and more of the same kind of, horrible, police state in which women are being, raped on an industrial scale. And after about four seasons, you're going, I agree with literally everything this show is saying about the subject, but I'm finding it hard to keep watching. Do you know what I mean? Because you can only have that point reinforced so long. But at the same time, you look in America and you go, God fucking hell, they've got people in government who, that Marjorie Taylor Greene, she claimed that forest fires were caused not by climate change, but by lasers from space controlled by a powerful international conspiracy of Jews. And everyone goes, oh yeah, but these, you can't listen to these fringe lunatics. They're not fringe lunatics. Yes, they're lunatics, but they're not on the fringes. They're in the fucking Congress of the United States. That's the fucking scary thing, is that people who you would normally go, and it's this is the dissonance that you get away from, because you're in your mind, because you're a rational person, you go, well, that can't be like an elected official. That can't be the American equivalent of an MP saying that, because that's meant to be an intelligent, responsible person. It can't be that those people are such freaks who would actually do those things, because it doesn't compute, because you wouldn't do that because you're a fucking normal person, right? But those are the people in charge. They're either, they're either the willing kind of dupes, and it's not that there's, are they stupid? Some of them are very intelligent. Some of them are stupid. But they've been willingly duped by these kind of con artists who are making them think that they're fighting for America, when in fact what they're fighting for is a tiny, tiny, tiny group of people. And it's exactly the same thing. It just has to be more sophisticated, because America is a freer society in theory, and it has all of that media, and it has all of those people have got, the ability to go and earn a job and the ability to go to school and those things, a very high literacy rate and all those things. So the methods have to be much more complicated. But what they are doing is exactly the same as, in principle, as Saudi Arabia devising a particularly repressive and extreme form of Islam to control its population and hide the fact that a 1% minority of their country are billionaires living in palaces doing what the fuck they want. And that's exactly what's happening in America. They just have to do it in a more subtle way, because 40, 50 years ago, America was not like this. It was a lot freer in a lot of ways. It was far from perfect. Otherwise, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X wouldn't have been campaigning for things. But America was a lot freer then than it is now, and people just don't realize it. And this is why in Florida, and we'll come to Florida soon, this is why they're controlling what you can learn in schools. This is why they're banning research into gun violence. This is why, for example, you still can't get proper national figures on police shootings. They talk about freedom, but they don't have freedom of information. They don't. Yeah. They make sure that people, that this is, for example, let's not, change the subject too much, but critical race theory, right? The bit that the American, right wingers are scared of in that is not the race bit, it's the critical bit. Imagine if you were teaching kids to think critically about subjects. Imagine how much harder it would be to trick them into thinking that the answer to school shootings is more guns in schools.
Yeah,
they need their population to be. It's not that they're unintelligent. It's just that they are taught on a daily basis. Here's the flag. Salute the flag. This is what the Constitution says. Salute the Constitution. This is your president. Do what the president says. And on subjects that they don't control in that way, they're very intelligent. They've got tech billionaires who've invented amazing stuff over there. You've got people who've invented fucking electric cars that are revolutionising the world and all of that stuff. And the thing
he's part South African, so
yeah. But the thing is, and all those people tend to then be again. A majority of those people tend to then be against the weird shit that the religious right wants to do in America. But there's nothing they can do about it because the majority of the population, even though they're intelligent in a bunch of regular ways, they are being almost hypnotized by the atmosphere that they grow up in. Because, you know, you talk about, like, the majority of people, you know, are against, the ban on abortion that they're trying to bring in America. But watch a TV show in America that actually, where it's even an option for a character on a TV show to have an abortion. It isn't. They're terrified of saying what they really think. Because they've got this, they've been given this mindset that says, oh, no, we can't do that. We can't challenge that. That's just what it is. Someone says, oh, we need to start, the whole kind of Colin Kaepernick thing. It's not that he was against the national anthem. It was the fact that the national anthem was accompanied by, we support the troops and we support the government. And Colin Kaepernick was going, well, I'm not entirely happy with that because I don't like what the government's doing. Oh, well, you can't do that. Because they've managed to make it. It's exactly what Goebbels was trying to do. And everyone goes, oh, you're overstating things because they're a Nazi. But like, just because they haven't invaded Poland yet doesn't mean they're not using propaganda techniques that the Nazis were very good at, because they're very, very good at making anyone who criticizes any of these things seem like they hate America and that they hate the Constitution and they hate the flag. And it's like, isn't the person who wants less people to die, isn't the person who wants primary schools to be safe, and isn't the person who wants your water to be clean and your women to have like equal rights and your country to actually be better, isn't that the patriotic person? So, you know... It's like you can, just because you've wrapped yourself in a flag, you can do anything you like over there, and criticizing that makes you the enemy. And they've absolutely mastered it. And they're essentially saying it's un-American of you to want to stop these school shootings. That's where we are.
It's mental to think that this country was also fighting Russia for fucking decades, isn't it? Mm-hmm. For 35 years, these two countries locked heads and the world had to basically pick a side. And it's like picking someone to shag your missus, isn't it?
It's like, God, I don't agree with a lot of things that the Americans are doing, but do I take the side of the Soviet Union instead? Do you know what I mean? It's like, fucking hell. I mean, the Soviet Union, it's not even about communism, as Putin has proved. It's like Russia has been pulling this shit for years and years and years. Centuries, in fact, that it's, you know, communism was just another flavor of the same shit Russia does. Russia was invading the same places and pulling the same shit and doing the same stuff to its own people when it was the Tsars in the 19th century and when it was like Stalin, and now when it's Putin, they were doing the same shit. And the thing is, it was almost easier. And of course, if it's between America and Russia in 1960, of course you're on America's side. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't mean I agree with them just fucking undermining the whole of South America. Do you know what I mean? It's like, what choice is that, you know? So do you think we've done this subject enough? I think we've kind of depressed ourselves enough with this topic.
Yeah, there's no real solution that doesn't end with even more bloodshed that's already going on. So there's the only reason you can talk about it is just kind of point out how fucking stupid America is, which I think a lot of people already know. I think it was just, I think we needed to give our kind of two.
And the thing is, it's a bunch of people, the majority of whom are actually not stupid on this subject, who are forced to live in a collectively stupid environment.
Yeah.
It's very weird. So is there anything we can cheer ourselves up with? Is there any kind of news that's caught your eye or stories that would kind of, if we're going to change the subject into something a bit lighter?
I've not found anything. The news has been rather miserable the past couple of...
Well, I'll tell you what, because it's the cost of living crisis and all of these things. It's pretty grim. But shall we check in on Florida Man then?
Yes.
Florida Man always cheers us, even in these terrible times. So I've actually, since the last episode we did, because we do these kind of about once a month, not with complete regularity, but it's always about 4 weeks since the last one. This is just a selection of the Florida Man headlines since the last time we checked in on Florida Man. Florida Man dies retrieving frisbees from alligator-infested lake.
What a guy.
Can you accept that? This actually has a sad element to it, because what it is, it's a frisbee golf course, which could only happen in Florida anyway. Instead of going around a golf course, you throw frisbees around a course. But of course, they've got water hazards around there in America, and in other places, a water hazard means you lose your frisbee or your ball. In a Florida, a water hazard means there's a fucking alligator that's going to eat you if you go in there. But the sad element to this is that the man who did it was going in to collect the frisbees, because you can actually sell them for $5 or $10 a time, depending on their condition. So it's probably someone who's not very well off and is like doing it as a bit of a kind of a hustle. So it's kind of Florida's perfect combination of colourful and depressing there. This is just a pretty typical run-of-the-mill one, sort of thing you'd expect Florida man to do. Florida man killed by bonfire explosion at weekend party. Because when you have a party, you obviously need to set something on fire. So they had a bonfire in the garden while they're having the party. Unfortunately, there was something like a gas canister or something in the stuff they set fire to, and it killed someone.
Hooray.
It's just, what do you do, apart from give them a Darwin Award? Florida man faked his own pardon from Donald Trump while under investigation.
What?
He should have just asked Donald Trump. He'd probably have given him
a... Yeah, he'd have given it to him. I mean, you'd have to ask him on that new social media he's tried to set up, which I hear doesn't work very well.
Well, of course not. He was under investigation for fraud, and he forged a pardon from Donald Trump to try and help him get him off it, which is like the answer.
Oh, dear.
I think Donald Trump would approve of that. The answer to get away with fraud is to commit more fraud. Now, this is another one. This made me smile for two reasons. I like this. Florida man shits on the floor of a Treasure Island surf shop, then uses a T-shirt from the shop to wipe himself off. He was tracked down and arrested the later day, and he did this in front of other customers. So there are loads of eyewitnesses here. He was tracked down and arrested later that day. But the web page I found for this is a Boston radio station. They've done something called Karen Metal. Now, I don't know how easily this is going to be picked up, but I'm going to turn it on, because what this is, people have taken rants by Karens, you know, angry white women.
Yes.
And
I deal with them every day.
And the Americans are very good at producing these women, and this guy sets their rants to heavy metal music. So you've got to go and look it up. It's absolutely amazing. It's worth its weight in gold. It'll cheer you up. Because it works really well. It's some of the things they say, even create little choruses and stuff for him to do, like, to kind of climactic sort of ends to his verses and stuff. Lovely stuff. Karen Metal. If you need cheering up, go and Google it. This one is, you only need the headline. Florida man in ape mask used sledgehammer to rob laundromat.
In a what mask?
An ape mask.
Oh.
He wore a gorilla mask and used a sledgehammer to rob a laundromat. So, of course he does.
Why wouldn't you?
Why would you be so boring as to wear a ski mask or a stocking like a boring old bank robber? You know, make a statement, a fashion statement. And this one, I enjoyed this as well. Florida man who was making a delivery in his truck to a shopping center crashed into it because he was smoking his meth pipe while driving.
Is this just the past month?
Yeah, this is just in the past 3 to 4 weeks.
Incredible.
Isn't it amazing? And the way he describes that he was smoking his meth pipe, he was driving. What he talks about his meth pipe is it's like his support animal. It's like it's like
what else would I be doing?
It's one thing to be doing that while you're driving along straight up on the motorway, but he's actually doing it while he's meant to be like reversing his truck into the shopping center. He just goes slamming into the building and knocks down bits of the center and stuff. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
I do enjoy that aspect of that person's just asked the stupidest question. Like, why else wouldn't I be smoking my crack?
I was
the best time.
Why did you crash that? I was smoking my meth pipe. So I said, well, of course I was. What, you know?
What a stupid thing to ask. Okay, I've thought of a funny story now. It's not happened recently, but it's one of my favourite stories that my pal tells me. So,
well, this will be good. This will be a good one.
So my pal used to, he still does, but he used to do it more often. So he only does it once a week, but he basically works the doors in Glasgow. As you know, like they're called door stewards, but he's a bouncer. Yeah. And he used to do it like all the time. He used to do it like four times a week. He only does it like one night a week now. But he's got loads of great stories. And there's this guy that he didn't meet, but is he was famous in the kind of Glasgow bouncing scene for... he's like a former cage fighter. He's from Poland and he's absolutely enormous. He's built like granite. I've seen photos of this guy. He's absolutely terrifying. But he was working himself at a bar in Glasgow. I think it's Campus, or it used to be called Campus. And it was himself on a Sunday night. And the manager just said to him, like, look, you're just working yourself tonight. So, you know, do with that what you can. And he went, okay. So this group of like six guys come up to the door. And young kind of like Glaswegian guy, he's a bit cocky. And the bouncer goes, not tonight. And they go, what? We're not doing anything. Like, and they basically just kind of said, you know, what are you going to do about it? And the manager kind of pulled him aside and said, look, it's fine. Let them in. If they kick off, we'll deal with it then. You know, thinking, you know, there's only one bouncer on the door.
Mm-hmm. So the bouncer sees six people who look like a bit tasty and thinks, since I'm on the door myself, I don't think it's wise to let them in, sort of thing.
No, but basically what's happened is like they're saying, we're coming in regardless.
Oh, I see.
So the manager's like, fine, let them in.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He goes,
I got you.
No. Like, he basically says, no. And they basically get ready. He's like, well, what the fuck are you going to do about it? So he takes his jacket off, gives it to the manager. He's like, oh, no, what the fuck are you doing? And they see this absolutely enormous Polish gorilla, and they think, yeah, the six guys think, yeah, maybe not, and walk away. And the manager goes, what the fuck are you doing? Like, it's fine, you could have just let them in. And he turns to him as if he's just asked the stupidest question. And everyone goes, I fight better with jacket off.
That wasn't the question I was asking.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah,
I like that. I like that. Okay, well, look, I think we've managed to turn a depressing subject, or we didn't make the subject less depressing, but we've managed to get onto something that was a bit more lighthearted and end with a laugh. And I would reiterate, listen to Karen Metal if you need cheering up today or any other day. It will really brighten up your mood. But otherwise, I think we've said what we wanted to say about the National Rifle Association and the Second Amendment. Is there anything else that you wanted to say to our lovely people today, mate?
No, thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Very good. This was the Adamsons versus the Second Amendment. Next time it will be the Adamsons versus something else. The music was District 4 by Kevin MacLeod. Look forward to speaking to you next time.